Welcome to episode 110 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. On last week's show, I shared a recording which I made whilst on a recent camping trip. In my introduction, I said that I'd also be putting together a written article about how I braved the cooler temperatures one evening to create a glowing tent shot featuring the Van Gogh Force 10 Helium 100. I said this because, at the time, I wasn't completely happy with the quality of the audio I'd recorded on location, thanks to the wind blowing around. Not to be defeated though, I decided to have a go at reworking it, and although there is a little interference now and then, I think you'll agree it was well worth the extra effort for the sake of sharing. So, let's catch up with me now as I talk you through the process of making that picture live as it happened that night. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 110.
It's just about 7:15 of an evening, and it's quite a cold evening. I don't know exactly how cold it is. The thermometer which I have with me appears to be stuck on 15 degrees, but I do know that it is considerably colder than that. I reckon it's probably down to maybe about 2 degrees at the moment. The reason it's so cold is because I'm outdoors. And the reason I'm outdoors is because I'm camping. I'm in the middle of a woodland, and if you think I'm speaking a little bit quietly, that's because I am, because it's the woodland and I don't need to be shouting. And the reason I'm here is it is the ongoing testing of a particular product, which is a tent. It is the Van Gogh Force 10 Helium 100, which is a one-man tent, which I'm trying out in the course of my activities where I want to go on location and work sort of lightweight with just one backpack with the tripod and camera gear, some basic camping equipment, and obviously the tent has to reflect that. So whilst I'm here, obviously the sun has long gone, the light has essentially disappeared, and I've just got a bit of light in the sky, just a fraction, and I thought I'd just do a number of shots. So I thought I'd just talk through for you. So what I've got is the tent in front of me. I've got the camera, which is a Nikon D3 with a 24-85mm lens. That's mounted on a tripod. The tripod itself is a Manfrotto photo kit, something rather. It's a very lightweight, compact tripod. It's really not designed for this particular sort of camera, this sort of weight of camera. However, there's often a compromise, and the compromise on this occasion is a lightweight tripod like this, and as I say, it is a compromise. I have been using this tripod with a sort of a point-and-shoot camera, very lightweight, and it's perfect for that. However, it will be absolutely fine this evening. So, what I've got attached to the camera is a trigger, a shutter trigger, so I don't actually have to physically touch the camera when I make the exposure. Just before I started recording, I made a quick test at around about 20 seconds to see what was going on. And it's very, very dark in the foreground, as you would imagine. The tent itself actually have a headlamp or head torch attached via two carabiner clips to the top of the tent, shining down, so it creates this kind of light dome or orb or whatever. You guys will have seen this sort of technique used quite a lot, I'm sure, where a tent is in the landscape and lit up. So I thought what I'd do is I've got the camera set to manual. It's at f5.6 at ISO 200, obviously shooting raw. And I'm just going to do a quick test shot at 30 seconds. The focus is already set and locked off on manual. So I have in my pocket here a little torch. Let me just see. Okay, we'll just fire the shutter here. There we go. So, that is 30 seconds. I'm just going to step away from the camera. Now, there are different ways that I could go about this. In truth, it may be a little bit darker than I would like, ideally, for this shot. I maybe should have started shooting a little bit earlier. But the reason I didn't is I was far too comfortable in my down sleeping bag. So, you know, what are you going to do? But there is another option here. A lot of you will know of a technique called light painting. which is where you take something like a torch, a headlamp, it could be candles, it could be a sparkler, anything like that, or even a flash gun, just to throw some light into a picture. It may be that I use that technique in a while, who knows. So I'm just having a quick look at the back of the camera here. Again, very, very dark, and I'm thinking that, just zooming in, the tent is nice and sharp, that's the main thing. There we go. Yeah, that's lovely. The tent is nice and sharp, there's really not much detail around it. So what I'm going to do is leave the... let me just double check. The exposure is fine, I think. When I look at the tent, it's pretty much there. The light does fall off, but what I'm going to do is just... I've got a little torch with me, not particularly powerful, but enough. I'm going to set the camera to 30 seconds again. And just have a little wander around, because I'm going to be moving. As long as I don't get in the line of sight between the camera and the light, then I won't record at all in the picture. So I'm going to set the camera to fire, and I will take you with me as I go. Let's turn the light on first. Okay, so I'm just walking around and just very sort of gently just adding some extra light all around the foreground, around the edges, up the side of the tent. It's a really kind of haphazard approach. A little bit maybe in the trees around the edges. It's very random, and it's probably maybe going to take a few goes just to see. But this approach is a bit like working in the darkroom, you know, when you would burn in some pictures from the negatives to get some more detail. But let's just have a quick look. Okay, so first test, just going to go back to the previous one. Actually, there hasn't been any real... effect, because this really isn't a very strong light. So what I'm going to do is set... I need to set the camera to a much longer exposure. Now, if I'm clever, what I will do is this release has a locking mechanism. So what I'll do is I'm going to adjust the camera from 30 seconds to what's known as bulb or timer, some of you will know, or time setting. So that will give me the option to go above 30 seconds. Now I can't, without timing it, I can't immediately see what that's going to do. So my next approach is to got my watch here. I could also have a little timer with me, but I haven't. So what I'm going to do is just, okay, let's fire that and lock it up. There we go. So as I look at my as I look at my watch, it's essentially 20 past 7 on the nose, as it were. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give this 2 minutes. That could well be too much. It could be just spot on. I'm not actually going to be using the torch to light anything. One thing I did do is where I was walking around, I clearly had the torch facing towards the camera too much at one point, so there are these kind of light trails. As I say, where I'm stood here is pretty much pitch black, and I can't see much apart from the sky, the silhouette of the tree branches and what have you, and obviously the tent. So you really have to watch out for this, and it's, you know, it is trial and error, and it is sort of practice and what have you, and sometimes you can use it to great effect. People often sort of sign their name, or they say hello, or they'll sort of put some sort of message or something in the picture just using light. It's a really effective technique. But actually, I'm just trying to... I would rather work with natural light rather than painting in sort of the filling in the picture with extra light from a torch. Hopefully what this should do is, by lighting up the tent, the foreground, a bit more, and also giving a bit more detail to the sky. And there's not, I mean, it's not like I'm going to get star trails or anything like that today. So it's been a bit of an overcast day, actually, truth be told. So I don't think that's going to happen necessarily. Just looking at my watch, got about 15 seconds to go. It may be that 2 minutes is not enough, and I'm not going anywhere. I've got all evening, and so I'm just going to just try and see what happens. So we've got about 5 seconds to go, and I'm just going to check that. Okay, just release the shutter. There we go. Right, so we're just getting a bit of light coming through. It's not enough. I can see, actually, it's a real improvement. So we've got, from the last shot, yeah, that's nice. I can just see that the trees are starting to come in, the sky's coming in. So what I'm going to do is, often the way with this is you double up on your exposures. So the logic would say that the next thing that I'm going to be doing is doing a 4-minute exposure. And I will waffle along as I'm stood here in the dark and you guys are listening. If the exposures start to get sort of much longer, then I will pause and then come back to you guys, save you having to listen through to me rambling on and on for long exposures. So I'm just looking, I've got about 10 seconds just to get it starting at 24 minutes past. Here we go. 24 minutes past now. There we go. We're going to lock the camera. Lock the shutter open. And there we go. So that's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's a couple of minutes before half past. I will go back to the camera. Now, what else can I talk about while I'm stood here? Well, a lot of people have asked in the past, when I shoot nighttime photography in all sorts of different sort of areas and subject matters, how you can trigger the camera if you are not physically pressing the button. Now, there are various ways that you can do this. Some of them are very low tech, and some of them obviously are, as you'd imagine, a bit more high tech. Now, let's start with what I'm using tonight. I've got this remote trigger. It's about a meter long, and it's got a big black button on it, and a little slider that I've used now to keep the shutter open. So it means you don't have to just stand there holding the shutter button, holding the button down all the time, especially when it's cold. It's no fun. In the good old days, we used to have, and a lot of you may remember this, used to screw directly into the shutter release button on the camera a cable release, and it was literally a cable that ran through a sleeve, and you could lock that up by turning a little sort of plug switch sort of thing. The one that I use here, it was something that I bought off eBay. It cost me £2.50, and it basically is a cheap Chinese rip-off of the real deal, i.e. the Nikon thing. Now, people might say, oh, why aren't you using the Nikon one, all the rest of it? Something like that, it's not something that I use a lot. It's something that does the job perfectly well. And I see nothing wrong with using the cheaper brands. At the end of the day, it does the job. And for the amount of use that I use, then it's absolutely fine. Now, if I was doing this sort of thing sort of most evenings or every few days or whatever, and I want to be absolutely sure that the thing was going to keep on going and going and going, for security, I'd probably go with a Nikon one. And, you know, there's nothing to say this one won't go on for years, but horses for courses, I guess. Now, I'm just going to do a quick check of the time. So, where are we? So we've got a couple of minutes left to go. The other option you can use is the self-timer that is built into many cameras. You will know that I've used this for all sorts of things. I've also used it when it comes to shooting fireworks. Now, the trouble with that is, with fireworks, you're looking to get the timing right with the bursts of the fireworks and what have you. The self-timer on the D3 starts at 2 seconds, so you press the release, and then 2 seconds later the shutter fires, and then it goes up from there, sort of 5 seconds, 10 seconds, what have you. Well, that's not very accurate. So although that's a great way to trigger the camera without physically pressing the button on the camera, there are times when that isn't really suitable. Now, going to the other extreme, you could use some sort of a remote trigger, something like a Pocket Wizard. Those of you that are aware of Pocket Wizards, you'll know these are electronic transceivers. They have a range of 1600 feet, I think it is, not meters, 1600 feet. And you press a button on the one in your hand, and it triggers triggers the camera because you've got another one attached to the camera, that sort of thing. Much more expensive, much more high tech. We're talking a difference between £2.50 and about 100. Well, actually, you'd need two, so probably the best part of 250 quid at least, or something like that. So, you know, different budgets, there's different ways around it. Just having a look at my watch. Okay, so that is just about there. We give it probably just another, maybe just over, but let's just give it another sort of 15 seconds or so. And then hopefully that might do it. What I'm getting is, of course, because the light is essentially burning constantly onto the sensor of the camera for the image there, the highlights will be sort of burning out. So there we go. Just have a look. That's really nice. Still not a lot of light in the background, but then you're really not going to get that a great deal. Let me just zoom in. The light... That's nice. Okay, so just details just in the sky and the trees I can see there. That's really nice. This is a woodland. It's not an open expanse, so you expect to have all this sort of darkness. What have we got here? The light spilling out into the foreground around the tent. That's nice. I am going to... What was that? That was 4 seconds. I'm going to do an 8-minute exposure. What I will do is I will leave it there for the moment with you guys rather than rattling on for 8 minutes, and I will catch up with you in a little while, just as soon as I have the results. Okay, so that was 8 minutes, and I'm just looking at the back of the camera here now. And yeah, there's more detail in the trees and in the sky and in the foreground. By default, there is also more of a burnout on the tent, so I'm not seeing so much the shaping of the inner tent, as it were. You can just see the shape where the light's coming through. Basically, it's got like a mesh panel and then a nylon, sort of the two-thirds of it is nylon and then there's a mesh panel. So you're kind of losing that a little bit. I'm now faced with the decision. I'm only going to do one more shot. I've got to decide whether I'm going to go with doubling up, say to 8 seconds, or, doubling up to 16 seconds, or do I go somewhere in between? Because if I go even more, that tent, it's going to burn out even more. And I can see the way it's going. It's going to sort of go sort of further down the tent. And I don't want too much of an absolute kind of... you know, just orb, sort of like burnt out tent here. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to zoom in so I can see what's going on. Okay, just because with the highlights on this camera, it's not, you know, it looks as though it's all burnt out, and often it's not as burnt out as it might seem. It's not too bad. I think what I'm going to do, let me just zoom out for a second here, just checking my focus as well whilst I'm at it. That looks fine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go for a, 8 seconds. Double up would be 16. So I reckon half the difference, 12 seconds. There we go. So 12 seconds. Then I'm going to set up another shot. And I think that'll probably do it for this little setup. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set the camera to fire now. Let me just do this. Oops. Let me just wake the camera up. Looking at the... Oops. Looking at my watch here. So, as I look at this, it's 2:15. So, let's fire that like that. And one-handed operation, we can set the hold button there. So, what did I say? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 seconds. 12 minutes, which would be 10, just after 5:02 in that case. Right, I'm going to talk a little bit just while, maybe not for the whole of the time, just while that's doing. excuse me. There's a couple of things I thought I'd just mention. First of all, you know, I'm stood here, and it's a pretty still night. The tent is pretty sort of solid. It's not got any real movement to it. If it was a windy evening and there was more movement in the tent, well, then this shot wouldn't happen. You could still do it, but it would, you know, look a bit of a blur. It might be kind of interesting with some of the more solid objects like the tree trunks and everything. There, but really, it wouldn't happen. So I'm kind of lucky in that sense. The other thing I was going to say, and I alluded to this just now, the tent has an inner tent, and a conscious decision I was faced with was, with the light inside, knowing as I do that with these longer exposures the light can burn out, which, you know, it's going towards that way now. With that in mind, was I going to leave the inner tent door open so that more light was able to pass through, or did I leave it shut? I chose to leave it shut, just so that it did kind of diffuse it, so it didn't burn out quite so readily. You know, you can experiment and all the rest of it. It's, you know, it's never a bad thing. The other thing that I was going to say was, when you are doing nighttime photography and you are stood around for minutes at a time and sometimes hours at a time and what have you, it's always worth having some sort of entertainment in terms of something to keep you occupied. Some people choose to, I don't know, they choose to sort of look at their phone. Other people have some sort of a games console. Other people have a little torch and read a book. And, you know, it's not quite so bad when we're talking sort of 5, 10, 15 odd minutes. But when you're talking sort of 45 minutes, over an hour, anything like that, if you're doing certain nighttime photography, you really, you know, have to think, what are you going to do in the middle of the night, as it were. I have just grabbed my phone. I'm just going to put it to one side just in case there's any interference with the recording. If there has been, I do apologise. Step away from it. So, you know, whilst I'm waiting for this shot to complete, how do I make best use of my time? Well, where I am, I'm lucky in that I've still able to connect to the internet and what have you, so I'm able to check emails and do a bit of Twitter and this, that and the other. That said, one of the beauties of nighttime photography, and especially in the outdoors, is that you can just stand there and appreciate it and enjoy it. Now, that holds true to a point before before your feet get cold or before you get hungry or what have you. For me, it's the thought that I haven't had, I had a late lunch, so I haven't eaten this evening yet. So for me, the thought that I can, before long, go back into the tent, get into that down bag and fire up the stove and have a nice meal and a cup of hot chocolate or tea or whatever. That yeah, I really like the idea of that. So, you know, it's there are all these considerations that, you know, a lot of people love the idea of nighttime photography, and especially if you're listening to this and you love the outdoors, you know, you just got to try it. You've got to give it a go because there's so much possibility for images out there. I really think you should. Now, whether it's star trails that you want to shoot, or whether it's your tent or your family down on the beach or anything, you know, there's all sorts you can do, so it's really well worth doing. Anyway, I'm aware that I'm sort of waffling on to keep you guys entertained and to keep myself warm. So what I'm going to do is I'll just check the watch once more. As I said, I do have a timer on my phone, but on this occasion I'm just keeping it sort of quite traditional, looking at the watch here. So I've got another sort of 6 or 7 minutes now. So I will leave it there for the moment, and I will certainly catch up with you once this shot is done, just to kind of round things off. Whether I then talk about the next shot that I do, I may or may not. I'm just going to have a quick look at the time on this recording. We're at about almost 24 minutes, so probably I will check on this next picture and then round it off, so that we're, you know, kind of within around about half an hour, because, you know, me guys, I like to keep it, you know, to about half an hour, so it's not too much for you to have to take in. And, you know, there are a lot of podcasts out there that are sort of over an hour or an hour and 45 minutes, and it's a lot to take in at one go. I think half an hour's not bad. So, on that, I will leave it there for the moment, and I will catch up with you guys in about 5 or 6 minutes' time. So, looking at the back of the camera one last time, something very interesting has happened. Looking at the previous shot, a bit of blue in the sky and what have you. I say blue, obviously it's dark, but it's not black. Looking at the following shot, the sky has changed colour. We've now got more of a kind of... It's not light pollution, it's really not, but there's obviously just some change in the colour of the sky there. It really matches the warm glow of the tent, actually. And also, something's happened with the overall exposure, therefore, that means that the highlights haven't burnt out, which is quite interesting. So what I'm going to do, just because it's this new change, this new development, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire up one last exposure for 16 minutes. And I reckon that should do it, because this is slightly unexpected. It does happen from time to time. But yeah, why not try it? So that is pretty much it. One final thing, I was just trying to remember what I was going to say. One final thing that I will just address. A lot of you might say, well, look, you know, why are you shooting at f5.6? Because, of course, you want front to back sharpness and all the rest of it. Well, bear in mind, if you're shooting at anything sort of like f8, f16 and so forth, the exposure times are going to be multiples of what I'm talking about here. So what is sort of 8 seconds, you double up the time as you go along the aperture scale. So, you know, you'd be having I'm shooting at 8, so did I say 8 seconds? I meant 8 minutes. What's 8 minutes would be 16 minutes, and what 16 minutes would be 32 minutes, you know. And frankly, as much as I love this, stood out here in the cold, in a down jacket and everything, gloves and a hat, you know, you have to kind of get the balance between sharpness, and especially as the light is all dropping off here around the edges, it's fine. And practicality, there are, you know, all sorts of factors. So anyway, there we go, one final shot coming up, but I'm really happy with this. So it's looking really nice. I will just get this one final shot. As ever, if you've got any questions about nighttime photography or outdoors photography or anything like that, you know, I'm always open to your questions, your comments and what have you. So I hope, again, as always, I hope that's been useful and instructive for you. And if nothing else, I hope it inspires you to get out there and take pictures for yourself. So from a fairly mild but equally quite chilly, ironically enough, evening here on the south coast of the UK, I will leave it there.
Don't forget, in the coming days, I'll also be sharing more content with you centred around camping and the Helium 100, including a behind-the-scenes look at a photo shoot in another local woodland. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.